Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
One, thank you for joining us on the Ivy Podcast. I am your presenter, Angela Alberti, joined by my interviewee today, Ryan Kovacs. Super excited to interview you today, Ryan. I know you've got a lot of great things. Go ahead and give the audience a little bit of background on who you are, and then we can go into what we plan to talk about today.
Yeah, thanks, Angela. I really appreciate being on your podcast and looking forward to it. So I'm Ryan Kovacs. I am the president and CEO of RKCMO, which is a outsourced fractional CMO service specifically for the staffing and recruiting industry. Been in the business since the late 90s, grew up in the business, family-owned staffing company, worked there as a kid, you know, in the summers and things like that. And throughout my career, I have worked with everything from one guy and startups all the way to a few hundred million in revenue as a consultant to their marketing. And so, you know, feel like I bring a little bit of knowledge to the table. Awesome. You know, it's not always about years. Sometimes it's about the hours that you put in, but yeah, that's my story.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. I know that you've got a lot of great insight. I follow you pretty heavily on social media, and I love some of the stuff that you're putting out there and some of the direction that you'd like to see staffing and recruiting go into from a general marketing perspective. But before we get into all the good stuff, I do this segment pretty early on into my podcast called The Round of Fire and Ice. A fire just to put you under the hot seat, but ice to go ahead and break the ice and get to know Ryan Kovacs. So, first question, what do you think is actually the biggest misconception of the staffing industry?
The biggest misconception, I think, is a lot of candidates, I feel, think that the staffing agency, because there's markups and things like that, is somehow ripping them off or taking their money. And in reality, they're making the you know, hourly rate that is the going hourly rate in the industry. The staffing company has a markup on top of that, obviously, to cover their costs, expenses, advertising, and overhead. But because I deal with a lot of reputation management stuff where staffing companies may have very low ratings on Google, but they may be a wonderful company. It usually typically comes from candidates who found out there was a markup, found out they were maybe making less than somebody or whatever it may be, and they run to the internet and, you know, spew a bunch of venom at the agency, not really understanding the business.
Yeah. And I think that's a great example of what you just gave is that, you know, there's just piles of cash that staffing and recruiting partners are making on the hour when it's not really the case. This is an expensive business.
And it's an expensive business.
A burden involved with everything that's
involved. You bet.
Everything that's invested. So, okay. Now, what is one of the things that is most interesting about you that most people probably would not commonly associate with Ryan?
Oh boy. So, you know, I think I have this, you know, I think an earned persona that, you know, I'm a Texan and I have a very strong opinions and I, you know, fought professionally in martial arts and things like this. And when I think people get to know me, they find out that, you know, I demand excellence, you know, from people that I work with, but at the end of the day, I'm pretty soft. You know, I'll cry in movies and, you know, there's not a puppy I don't want to bring home. Right. So, you know, I think there's
that underneath.
People have to chip away a little bit to find it, but
that's awesome. All right. And last question then, you know, if you were talking to somebody, never had any experience within staffing and suddenly embarks on to their first gig and role as a recruiter or maybe an account manager, what would be that one piece of advice that you would give them as they are embarking into this industry that landed in their lap?
Yeah, the biggest piece of advice I would tell them is to throw away all of your biases towards people. I think you have to learn empathy. You have to learn that everybody is different. There's reasons that people may not show up to the first assignment that you gave them. There's reasons that people are jaded. There's reasons that, you know, there's all kinds of reasons for everything. And over the years, you know, especially working in the family staffing business, you know, you can come in and be this person that has, these ideas that, you know, if somebody doesn't behave a certain way, then they must be X, right? And in reality, people are so diverse and so different. I think you just have to take every person individually. I think you have to show love and compassion to them. I think you have to want to genuinely help them where they're at, right? Yeah. And if you have that, then you'll succeed.
That's awesome. Compassion. And I think a lot of what you said can actually relate to real life as a whole as well, if we were all just a little bit more compassionate. But
yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about then some of the good stuff. Now,
yeah.
You and I know it, we speak on it sometimes, but tell me a little bit about why you think that the staffing and recruiting industry, this is a multi-billion dollar industry, putting millions of people to work every single day, but why is this industry one in particular that has stayed somewhat antiquated, I guess you could say, when it comes to the marketing and when it comes to getting into the digital age of things?
Yeah. So two things. One is there's such a heavy emphasis on sales. Yeah. And it's always been that way. Sell, sell, sell. The problem that I have with that is it's worked pretty well throughout the years, but there's a real, and I don't like to constantly use these buzzwords, but there is a real digital transformation happening. The brain is wired differently in millennials than in previous generations. And even in Gen Z, right? Where they have looked at their phones their whole life. Their friends will be sitting in the same room. And instead of talking, they're texting each other in the same room. I know because I have a 17-year-old son, right? It's the most bizarre thing in the world. His best friend will call him while we're driving down the road in my truck. He will hit decline and text and say, "What'd you want, man?" Right? So there is this digital divide that's happening. And I feel like staffing has been able to whip the backs of salespeople and get just enough business, what I call legacy accounts. So if you go into most, say 20 million and less staffing companies, they're going to have three accounts that they just have a ton of people at. They landed them, it's successful, and they're doing everything they can to keep hold of those accounts. And the money's pretty decent. You know, everything's ginning, and those companies are just keeping them, you know, afloat. But the problem is over the years, I've seen hundreds of those companies wake up in a 9/11, wake up in a 2009, wake up in a COVID, and realize that their business is gone because they didn't diversify through marketing. They landed some good accounts through sales, kept the money ginning until times got tough. And so my recommendation, you know, is that, yeah, you got to have your salespeople, but you have to complement them with a robust marketing program that diversifies your accounts so that when these, and they will come, In my history, I have seen 9/11 obliterate the industry. I saw 2009 and I saw COVID, right? So, you know, it's going to come, and you need to be diversified, not all eggs in a couple of different accounts that are just your legacy accounts that are keeping you going. And I think that's the real issue, quite frankly.
Well,
so and there's not enough hungriness, if that makes sense.
Not in the marketing realm. There's plenty of it happening in the account managers landing the big whales and
of course.
I think the phrase is fat and happy.
Well, that's what happens is you get these legacy accounts and it's good enough. Like you're doing, right. You're doing good enough. And so you just keep going with good enough. And, you know, it takes one of your legacy accounts to go out of business, file bankruptcy, or decide that they're going to start, you know, going in a different direction or a national, you know, a national disaster or something.
Right.
And then you're laying people off, you're losing great team members and everything else because you really had no outreach besides what your sales reps were doing.
So then let's talk about that. Let's say, well, and I want to put it in retrospective in two different buckets. From the budgeting perspective, if I'm an independent recruiter, I single-handedly am going out on my own. Say I grew up in the industry. Now I'm taking a shot at developing my own agency. I don't have the budget of the staffing agency that's been around for 20 years and is almost reaching national scale. What are some of the things that I can do that would allow me to inch my way forward that won't cost me, you know, something outside of what is an attainable and actual budget? Simple things.
Well, number one, your mind is your money. And so I've seen independent recruiters in just even the last year, even in a tough time with COVID and everything else, I've seen people start up independent recruiting companies and independent staffing companies since March of 2020 that are now killing it. And the way that they did it, they didn't spend a dime, really. They set up a Wix site themselves. They, you know, took a good headshot. They wrote some good content. They put it on there themselves. And then they got super busy on LinkedIn, posting comments, interacting with decision makers, creating good content and posting it out to show that they have real knowledge in the industry. I watched one particular girl go from, I'm excited to just start my own company. I got laid off last week, but you know what? It's time. I'm just going to do it. Screw it. Right. That was her. I remember that first post, and that was in March of 2020. Fast forward today, and she has 5 internal employees working for her staffing company.
Wow.
She's done. I think she mentioned the other day that she did 900,000 in billing so far. Her story, because she's so good at telling it, you know, now she's getting, you know, in the hundreds of engagements on every one of her posts. People are sharing her content and her story and everything else. So that was not dollars. That was mental currency that she was using to, you know,
I'm gonna say it's overkill, but it's a personal brand.
It's a personal brand. I mean, there's a reason people are talking about that. And so, you know, marketing and advertising is getting tougher and sales is too, for all the things I mentioned earlier. You know, people don't want to be sold to. They really don't want false marketing, like, you know, take this pill and you're going to lose 50 pounds. I mean, people have grown up with that garbage. They're done with it. They don't believe you and everything else. Right. So you have to build that personal brand and speak to authority on the subject. And then people make up their minds to come to you. And that's just demand marketing, or, you know, that's whatever you want to call it, personal brand, creating demand for you, for your company, for your services. If
now,
you're not
you
doing
to
it,
that,
it's crazy.
To that agency that's been around for 20 years and that has those 3 legacy accounts, and maybe they've got a team of people behind them, maybe they're set up in a dozen states. What do you say to them to really beef up and start to diversify? What's that advice?
Yeah. So number one, if you care about your salespeople and you care about their mental health and you care about their well-being and you really are an empathetic company, your lack of marketing, your lack of creating awareness of the brand is, in my opinion, rude. I think it's wrong. I think you should support your sales teams, your account reps, your recruiters by investing in a brand. Because again, something like a COVID or a 9/11 or a 2009 happens, and then you're sending everybody home. Not only is there this natural disaster or emergency that they're having to deal with in their lives, but now they're unemployed, or you know, you've got this quota for your salespeople that's high, it's unreasonable, and you're just whipping them to bring it in, but you're not supplying them with any support whatsoever to, you know, a salesperson in a healthy company isn't selling. They're just negotiating the terms.
Right.
That's in my opinion, because the marketing should build a brand in the mind of the purchaser that the brand is safe and should be purchased. The salesperson, in my opinion, is just figuring out the negotiation parts. But you know, these companies, these legacy companies that have been around, this is how we've always done it. You know, I would ask them to question themselves and their motives. Are you just trying to save money and not pay for marketing? You know, are you comfortable with a revolving door of salespeople that you just beat the crap out of, and when they leave, you don't care? That's not a cool company. That's an awful company. So yeah. I would recommend that they look inward and just say, you know, maybe it's time for me to actually care about the people that work here and work on brand awareness and work on building a brand.
Well, I've never heard of, you know, of it phrased like that. What a brand can actually do to the internal workers at an agency. It's just and they're in turn a security blanket, I guess you would, if you will, for them in the future when times do get tough. And in this world that we're living in, that's pretty expected.
You can go back. There's some studies by some really, really big research firms that have looked at the companies who had steady branding during good times and then ramped up their branding during emergencies or bad times. Those companies, it's not even close. Those companies not only stay in business where others collapse, but they gobble up market share where others tend to shrink, pull back their marketing budget, pull back their branding budget, pull, you know, and all of that to you know, they're very reaction instead of proactive. Study after study after study has shown that companies will begin to that keep their branding going, increase their branding during bad times, will actually take accounts from the scared ones, and they'll remain in business instead of folding and all of that. It's remarkable to me that information has been out there. It's always out there. You can find it. You can Google it. You'll find a million examples of it. And yet people still in the staffing industry, particularly, just won't let go of the marketing dollars.
Well, I think you just gave some great advice from each end of the spectrum. So if you're an independent recruiter, you don't have a huge budget, build that personal brand. But if you've got that staffing agency, invest into developing that brand for the staffing agency. Now let's talk about the future. Things are rapidly changing. I speak on this all the time. You speak on this all the time. When it comes to the worker delivery model, it's no longer, you know, staffing agencies have been around, I think, since the 40s or 50s. Then the MSP came around, then the VMS.
VMS is all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we've got the Ubers of the world and these human cloud platforms.
EORs.
EORs, my base pay is being one of them, right?
Right.
But where do you see the evolvement of the staffing agency going to survive this rapidly changing landscape of work and the way it's delivered?
Yeah. So, man, there's one thing in particular I think will probably happen soon. There'll be an Amazon come in and create a huge marketplace. Where independent staffing companies will still be in business, they'll lose a little bit of their brand power. So think about it like Amazon. You go to Amazon, you look for a specific t-shirt. All these things pop up. You probably just scan the ratings. You look at the size, you look at the materials, whatever it may be, and you buy it. You never really paid attention to the fact that it was Jim's t-shirt in Cincinnati, right? Like, that's a real company. That guy probably was in business prior to Amazon and was doing okay. Amazon came along and offered that person a much larger worldwide or national, however they want to do it, audience that they could sell to, right? However, Bob's t-shirt shops that sells the exact same t-shirts, been in business the same amount of time, never got into marketplace optimization and things like that. And he's still selling to Cincinnati only, right? And his business is hurting because everybody's going to Amazon, right? Just a quick, simple deliver to your door the next day. So I feel like there's going to be marketplaces that come in. They're going to be huge. I think staffing companies are going to have to be okay with joining in on that marketplace. And then they need to turn their branding and their marketing and their focus to reputation, keeping their ratings really, really high. So what's that? What does that mean? They've got to provide outstanding service and great communication, strong empathy and all of that, or their ratings are going to be low. Number two, they need to invest in experts that can optimize them in the marketplace so that, they come up when people are searching for that type of talent. It'll be a micro search engine, so to speak. Right. So, marketing is still going to play a huge role. It's just going to be in a different way. I don't have proof, but obviously it's coming.
Yeah, that's your take on it. And that's that shadow lurking in the corner, because you see what's happening with Uber and Netflix and all of these major conglomerate
companies. I mean, even LinkedIn.
Even LinkedIn. Yep, LinkedIn is one that is
going to be. LinkedIn is doing some stuff.
And maybe they're going to be part of this marketplace, philosophy that you've got, which is all pretty interesting. Now, we're coming up on time, but I just want to ask you this question. I'm going to keep it Shakespearean.
Okay.
To app or not to app? That is the question. Woo!
Oh, boy.
Should a staffing agency invest in an app? That comes up all the time, and I've heard all different realms of the story. What do you think? Or maybe it's dependent on the situation. When does it make
sense? I go back and forth. On the one hand, I say yes, because I feel like it creates a better experience for the worker, the client, and the staffing company. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I feel like there's going to be a universal application app that a worker can use that will plug into all the ATSs, so they don't have to have 10,000 apps from every staffing company that they're working with, because that's going to be a problem. So if you can imagine one app, it's got a universal, universal information in there, all of your information, your application information, your CV, the whole thing, right? That plugs into every ATS, plugs into every staffing company's module. And that way that worker can just hit apply and it doesn't matter who it is, what system they're on and everything else. That's coming. And when it does, the individual app, I think, is going to go away, unfortunately, because there's a lot of people doing some really cool stuff and they are developing these great apps and they're putting their life on the line for it. And I do think the idea is great. And I think utilizing it is smart. I do feel the app experience for the worker and for the client and for the staffing company is absolutely what they need. My fear is just there's so many trying to get in. There's just going to be the big Donkey Kong that comes in and says, we tie into everything.
Yeah.
Have one profile and go into any place you want. Super and if that happens,
maybe that's the start of a brilliant new idea that I may or may not steal from you. No.
I mean, kidding. There you go. Hey, I don't have the time or I'm creating. I wouldn't know how to create it. So
where to begin. No worries, man. That's awesome though. So where can people find you? Any of the closing remarks as we're wrapping this up?
Well, number one, thanks for having me on. I'm at rkcmo.com or man, just LinkedIn. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. Send me a connection request. I'd love to connect. If you have any questions, you know, feel free to reach out and I'll be happy to share whatever I know. I'm not saying it's going to be the right stuff, but it'll be what I think is right. So, thanks for having me, Angela.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for being on our show. Ivy Podcast was happy to have you on, and hopefully maybe it'll be around too at some point. But thank Perfect. You to our listeners as well for joining in today.
See you bet. You
guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.